Get your Bibles, if you would, and go with me, if you would, please, to the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Let's stand as we read the Word of God, Proverbs, chapter 18, and we're going to read one verse in Proverbs 18. If you're happy to be in the house of God, say amen.
Amen.
Hey, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Amen. Proverbs, chapter 18, and we'll look in verse number 14, Proverbs 18 and verse 14. The Bible says this: the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Let me read it one more time. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Father, I pray that You would bless the service tonight. Speak to our hearts in a special way. Lord, we do need You. We need revival in this day and hour. Lord, I pray that You'd speak to our heart. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to try to put my finger on what I believe is perhaps one of the biggest destroyers of good Christian folks, good churches. And I'm not necessarily talking about rebels tonight. I'm not talking about the heathen. I'm talking about the cream of the crop. I'm talking about God's choices. I'm talking about the sincere. I'm talking about the laborers. I'm talking about the ones who sacrifice to make things work. And by the way, listen, folks, you want to know who the most susceptible person in this room is to getting bitter? Listen to me now. It's not the prodigals. It's not the rebels. It's not the heathen. You want to know who is the most susceptible to becoming bitter? It is the ones who are the most sincere about being a blessing. The ones that are trying their best to serve God. The ones that are giving it everything they've got. Because this is why. Boy, you are sacrificing, and boy, you're trying everything you can do to please God. And then all of a sudden something bad happens in your life and you step back and say, now wait a minute, God. This isn't fair. You know, God, I've been faithful to tithe. And man, I haven't had a whole lot of money lately, and I've still been tithing. And not only that, Lord, I've been giving to missions. And I've been trying to do all these things to help around the church. And God, how could You let this financial problem happen in my life? And if you're not careful, those who are the most sincere can very easily become those who become the most bitter. I've seen people who have worked hard. Maybe they taught a Sunday school class. Maybe they were dedicated soul winners. Maybe they, and listen, it even happens to us preachers, man. You pour your heart out and you work hard, and then all of a sudden something happens in your life, and it's easy to get a wounded spirit. Hey, folks, I'm not talking about the bench warmers tonight. I'm not talking about the unconcerned. I'm talking to the faithful. I'm talking to tithers. I'm talking to the soul winners. I'm talking to teachers. I'm talking to us preachers in here. Amen. I'm talking about workers. I'm talking about the ones that actually sweat. The ones that fear God. That are in danger of falling prey to one of the biggest killers. And it's not pride. And it's not sin. And it's not apathy. What is it that causes so many good people to get out of the will of God? I'll tell you what it is. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? I may be talking to someone in here this evening, a church member, who you've become critical because you got a wounded spirit. I could be talking today to a teenager who's unhappy with how things are going at home. Mom and dad having problems, and there's conflicts, and they don't understand you, and you don't think that there's any way that they understand you, and you don't understand them. And you're here right now, and you don't look like you've got a burden, but you do. And you're doing your best to conceal your emotion, but deep down inside, you've got a wounded spirit. I'm talking about maybe a couple this evening that having some financial problems, having a hard time making ends meet. I'm talking about a Christian who's become bitter. Life's mistreated you. People have taken advantage of you and used you. things haven't gone your way, and now you judge the rest of the world by the way the world has treated you. I'm talking to somebody tonight that's discouraged. I'm talking to somebody who's become sour. You didn't get that raise you hoped for. You lost your job. Life's been tough, and now you got a wounded spirit. Hey, I'm talking maybe to some parents. You've become weary in well-doing. It's not easy to raise a family. A lot of responsibilities, a lot of duties, a lot of heartaches. And maybe you've got some kids that have disappointed you, and there you sit tonight with a wounded spirit. Maybe I'm talking to somebody today that's got hurt feelings. Somebody mistreated you, talked about you, lied about you, criticized you. And now you sit there with a spirit of revenge, a spirit of hatred, a spirit of hurt feelings. I'm talking maybe somebody tonight who's got a pessimistic spirit. Maybe somebody who's got a pharisaical spirit. Somebody who's got a haughty spirit. Or maybe a depressed spirit. Now listen to what the Bible says. Listen, folks. Psalm 51:1 says, David prayed, "Renew a right spirit within me." Psalm 78:8 talks about those whose spirit was not steadfast. Isaiah chapter 4 talks about a spirit of judgment. Proverbs 17:22 talks about a broken spirit. And then our text verse says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" Let me try to explain. Right now, your body is full of white and red blood cells. And those white blood cells, when your body is sick or when there's an infection, those white blood cells will rush to that infection and they will begin to try to do their best to heal that wound. Several years ago, when I was very sick with Crohn's disease, and the Lord has given me, boy, 4 or 5 really good years here of health, and boy, I'm praising the Lord for it. But many times in the past, and even whenever I used to come and preach here, boy, I used to just be so, so very sick with the Crohn's disease. I got down to about 120 pounds at one point. Just very, very sick. Of course, you can see I've gotten over that now, amen. And now I'm trying to lose some, amen. I used one of them ab crunchers, but I think I was using it backwards. You know, but I went to a doctor, and one of these naturalist kind of doctors, and one of the things he wanted to do was examine my blood. And so he took some of my blood and put it under an electronic microscope, and we looked at it on a screen where he magnified it way, way down, and he showed me what a red blood cell is supposed to look like and what my white blood cells are supposed to look like. And a healthy white blood cell almost looks like a perfectly round disc. But he showed me what mine looked like. And they were all deformed and distorted. And they were low. Why? My body was sick, full of ulcers, full of all these kind of problems. And so they weren't working effectively. And so, listen, your white blood cells, they are what help you get over sicknesses. They are what help you get over physical infirmities. One of the things that happens whenever a person has AIDS, is that's what it is. It's an immune disorder, and the body is not able to fight off any infections. And boy, you end up catching anything and everything that comes along your way. Now, listen, very, very carefully. The immune system for the Christian is your spirit. Your spiritual immune system is your spirit. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Listen, if your spirit is in good shape, you can't be beat. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what happens. You can't be beat when your spirit is right. No matter what you go through, no matter what happens in life. You ever met somebody like that? Where, man, it's just they've been through one storm after another, and everything seems to be wrong in their life, and yet they're still happy and they're still smiling. Why? Because they've got a healthy spirit, and a healthy spirit will sustain your infirmity. But a wounded spirit, when you got a wounded spirit, you can't hardly take anything. Everything gets you discouraged. Everything gets you depressed. You can take a man, fire him from his job, wreck his car, shoot his dog, talk bad about him, take his deer rifle. But immediately, his spirit will run to sustain his infirmity. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. And when you give battle or you get into a struggle, your spirit will run over there and will say, "Hey, let me help you back up, buddy. Let me pick you back up. Let me help you back out of there." The spirit of a man will sustain somebody, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Who can bear a wounded spirit? Who can bear living with a wife that has a wounded spirit? Who can bear to live in the same house with a husband that has a wounded spirit? Let me tell you something, Christians. Whatever you do in this life, don't let the devil get your spirit. Because if he gets your spirit, he can crush you. If he gets your spirit, he's got you, folks. Listen, if he gets your health, hey, your spirit can still sustain you. If he takes away your job, your spirit can still sustain you. If he brings problems and adversity into your life, your spirit can get you through that. But if he gets your spirit, then you have nothing to sustain you. It is your spiritual immune system. You following me tonight? Now, think about Job for a minute. Job lost everything. I mean, it's hard to even fathom what it must have been like to be Job. And the devil came and in one day literally turned his whole life upside down. And he gets word. Some servants came and they said, "Job, all of your camels have been stolen. All of your sheep are gone. All of your cattle are gone." So here's a man, very rich, probably one of the richest men of his day, greatly blessed of God. The Bible said he loved the Lord and hated evil, was a good and upright man. And just like that, all of his financial wealth was gone. Now listen, we've seen that happen in the last decade or so where people have saved for retirements. I talked to a fellow a couple of weeks ago and he said in that financial crisis back in 2008, he said in one day, he lost almost $60,000 out of his retirement. Just like that, poof. Now I can say one thing. You want to know how much money I lost when that happened? Nothing. Amen. So I'm still doing good, all right? But I tell you, there's a lot of people, their 401k is starting to look like a 0.4k right now, you know? Job literally lost it all. Lost it all. And the Bible says, while that servant yet spake, another came and says, "Job, you better brace yourself." But your sons, Job, they were sitting and eating, and all of a sudden a wind came and took the walls out from the place and it just collapsed right in on them. And Job, all your sons are dead. While that servant yet spake, another came and said, "Job, your daughters, they're all dead." I mean, he lost everything. And when the devil saw that he wasn't throwing in the towel, that he still wasn't cursing God, the devil says, well, a man will, hey, he'll give everything for his health. And he gives Job boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And even his own wife looked at him in that anguish that he was in, sitting there in the ashes, cutting himself with pieces of pottery to relieve the pain of those sores. And she said, "Job, we've lost it all. We've lost all of our money. We've lost everything we've worked for. And even our babies, Job, they're all dead." Imagine what it must have been like to be Job, to stand there and look at all of those pine boxes of your sons and your daughters. And yet, in the midst of all of that, Job said these words, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." How could a man possibly say something like that? I'll tell you how. The devil got everything about Job, but he could not get his spirit. If you let the devil get your spirit, you're done. I'm telling you, if he gets your spirit, you'll quit church. If he gets your spirit, you'll walk out on God. If he gets your spirit, you'll turn your back and go straight to the world. And I'm not just talking to adults, I'm talking to teenagers. The devil would love to get your spirit, and you'll run from God and never come back. I've seen it happen. You keep a healthy spirit. When Job lost his wealth, his spirit sustained him. Yes, he lost his children, but he didn't lose his spirit. And standing by those gravesides, he could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. What was Moses' downfall? Think about it. What was Moses' downfall? Well, he got mad. We know that he smote the rock when he should have spoke to it. But you know what? Listen, there's one thing I appreciate about old Moses. Moses could have just gave up. I blew it. God's done with me. God will never use me ever again. But you know what? He kept on going for God. But you let the devil get your spirit. What about Elijah? What happened to Elijah? It's hard to imagine. I mean, probably one of the most amazing stories that ever happened in the Bible was Elijah up on top of Mount Carmel. The tastiest mountain in the Bible. Amen. Mount Carmel. And he's been up there all day contesting with the prophets of Baal. The Bible said he called fire down from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, had all of those prophets killed. And then just hours later, you check it out. Hours later, he's underneath of a juniper tree and he's asking God to kill him. It's enough, Lord. I've had enough. Take my life away. I can't take it anymore. I've had all I can stand and I can't stand no more. You know, I'm sick and tired. And I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's enough. I quit. What happened? What happened to Elijah? What do you mean it's enough, Elijah? You just had the greatest experience of your life. The pinnacle moment of your entire ministry was just hours ago. What do you mean you quit? What happened to Elijah? Well, Jezebel got his spirit. She got his spirit. And after all of this happened, after this long, exhausting day, and this long journey that he had taken to get to where that juniper tree was, he gets a message from Jezebel. And it said something like this, and I'm paraphrasing. But she said, you know what, Elijah? By this time tomorrow, you're going to be a dead man. And he read that. After slaying 450 false prophets, after calling fire down from heaven, he gets one death threat from this woman, and he's, okay, God, I can't take it anymore. It's over. I'm done. You see, this is the same man who survived famine. This is the same man who had endured all of it. We're talking about the man who is known as the prophet of confrontation. This is the man who was just as tough as nails and bold as a lion. And yet he's ready to quit. Why? His spirit. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? You ever wonder what happened to old Barnabas in the New Testament? You know, you read a lot about Paul and Barnabas and their great missionary journeys and all the people that they were seeing saved. What happened to old Barnabas? Why didn't Paul and Barnabas continue preaching together forever? Well, best I can see, they got in a little bit of a fuss, him and Paul, about a preacher boy named John Mark. And after it was over with, I don't know what it was all about, but we know that John Mark had proven at one point not to be very trustworthy. And Paul said, I just can't trust him. Our lives are literally at risk every day, and I just can't trust somebody like John Mark. And so Barnabas got hurt. Barnabas went his way. Paul went his way. And you never see them preaching together ever again. Why, O wounded spirit? Now you say, oh, it'll never happen to me. It can happen a lot quicker than you think. You could take one statement that your preacher said and one message the wrong way and leave church with a wounded spirit. You could have somebody at work wound you. You could have a Christian in church wound you. Whether on purpose or not on purpose, things happen. We're all human. We're all flesh. We all make mistakes. And I'm telling you, I believe that there are a lot of Christians that are just one offense away from just quitting on God. Just once. I mean, they get offended one time, they're gone. Somebody correct their child one time, they're gone. They're out of church. That's all it's going to take. But if your spirit's right, if your spirit's right, no matter what you go through, you can handle it if you have the right spirit. I've seen people, we live in a very unique place. We have a very unique ministry. And it's, brother, if you want to see a person's spiritual character tested, let them come and work a summer at Mount Salem. Because it's hard. Camp work, I'm not going to lie to you, it's hard. And many times our leaders, man, we don't get in bed till 1, 2 in the morning, then we're back up at 6 and down the hill. And man, you know, if you got 150, 200 kids there, every one of them kids got to be fed 3 times a day. They've got to be entertained. You've got to have games. You've got to have services. You've got to have everything happening every day. And if you don't do it, it don't get done. But you know what? It's easy to get stressed out. And when you're tired, especially, it's easy to get edgy and critical. Well, they're not doing this and they're not doing... Hey, listen. When your spirit is right, it doesn't matter. You don't mind staying up all night. You don't mind working hard when your spirit's right. But you let the devil get a hold of your spirit, and there's not a whole lot a wounded spirit can bear. What about John the Baptist? You know, John the Baptist got a wounded spirit. You remember when he's in prison and he sends some of his disciples to Jesus? And now listen, we're talking about the great John the Baptist here. One of the things we forget about all these Bible characters is that they were human, you know. They're just like us. They were great men. They were greatly used of God, but God had to work on them just like He has to work on us. And here's the great John the Baptist, the man whom Jesus said with His own lips that there's not been a man born among women that was greater than John the Baptist. And here he is, he's in jail. They send messengers to Jesus and ask Jesus, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Even John, the great John the Baptist, was having his doubts when he got put in the prison cell. And Jesus told John this. He performed several miracles. Those disciples, they witnessed it and they saw Jesus Christ heal the blind and the deaf and all that kind of stuff. He says, "Go back and tell John what you've seen. And tell John, blessed is he that's not offended at me." Now you put yourself in John's place in that prison cell. I told you the most susceptible and vulnerable person to bitterness are the ones that are the most sincere. You put yourself in that prison cell, you're John the Baptist. You have been the forerunner for Jesus Christ. You have been the prophet that's come to prepare the way. Not only that, not only have you worked for Jesus, not only have you dedicated your life for the cause of Christ, but your family. John was the cousin of Jesus Christ. And here's John, he's in prison. And John, I'm sure, is thinking, boy, Jesus has raised people from the dead. Jesus has healed lepers. Jesus has done all of these miracles for everybody else. So why won't He let me out of prison? Wouldn't you think that way? I would think that way. Jesus has healed people that they don't even know Him. And He's healed them. And He's letting me stay in prison and rot. I'm telling you, you can get a wounded spirit. And God says, hey, go back to John and tell him, hey, there's no one greater. There's never been a greater prophet than John the Baptist. And tell him, blessed is he that's not offended at me. I'm telling you, a wounded spirit is hard to bear. It's hard to bear. And it's easy to develop one when you're sincerely trying to do your best to serve God. We had a little lady in our church who came faithfully. Her name was Mrs. Spencer. Mrs. Spencer, as she got older, developed diabetes, and it just got worse and worse and worse. She eventually went blind. She had both of her legs amputated. This is the thing about Miss Spencer. I don't know that I ever remember a time seeing that lady discouraged. I mean, she'd come into church in pain, and yet she just always singing and always smiling. Not very much in the world to be happy about. I mean, she couldn't even see to read her Bible anymore. She couldn't even see to sing the songs anymore in the songbook. Just, hey, after all she'd been through, they can take her legs, but they couldn't take her spirit. Could get her eyesight, but couldn't get her spirit. Hey, you said, Brother Randy, well, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? How come I'm not happy anymore? And how come the music don't speak to my heart anymore? And how come I don't enjoy the preaching like I used to? Check out your spirit. It's your spiritual immune system. I'll tell you how you know. If your spirit is not what it ought to be, when all of a sudden the thought of heaven no longer excites you, the thought that God is your Father and Jesus Christ is your Savior and the Holy Spirit is your guide doesn't appeal to you anymore, if you don't get a tingle, if you don't get any kind of joy in serving Jesus, there's just something unhealthy about your spirit. Folks, you can't lick a guy that has a healthy spirit. Think about Paul for a minute. Think about Paul. I mean, listen, I would have quit so fast if I would have gone through what Paul went through. I mean, listen, that man, he suffered so much in his life, and yet you never see him discouraged. You never see him discouraged. You read about him, and he's talking about all the things that he went through, and talking about being shipwrecked, and talking about the times that he was beaten. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 39 stripes, save one. Five times that happened. That's talking about being scourged. You remember what it meant to be scourged? You ever hear about that cat of nine tails that they would use, that they used on Jesus Christ, and they would have all of those lashes and all of those bone fragments and glass and all of those things tied into that? And they would take that cat of nine tails and they would whip that person, and it would wrap around their body and it would dig into their flesh, and then they would pull and it would begin to tear away their flesh. Josephus was not a Christian, but he was an early historian in those days, and he said it was not uncommon after a scourging for that victim to stand there in a pool of their own blood with their inner organs lying at their feet. He said very few survived a scourging. Jesus was scourged one time. Paul was scourged 5 times. From best I have been able to find, that cat of nine tails many times, of course it's called the cat of nine tails because of the lashes, but many times at the very least it would have 5 lashes on it. Now you multiply 5 times 39. That's 195 furrows plowed across the back of a man after one scourging. Now you multiply 195 lashes by 5. And that's just how many scars Paul must have had across his back. I think if Paul was to open up his jacket, I don't think that you could have put your finger anywhere on his body that you didn't touch a scar. And Paul said, I bear in my body the marks
of the Lord.
And that didn't get his spirit. Not only was he whipped, but he said, thrice I was beaten with rods. That's a stiff, inflexible object, folks. You think Paul may have lived with some back pain? Amen. I know back pain is not fun, but there's a whole lot of people that's their whole excuse for not coming to church and not doing anything for God because they're down in the back. Now listen, folks, you take a man's spirit and wound it and he can't take anything, but you keep your spirit healthy and you can take whatever the devil dishes out. Not only was he beaten with rods, not only was he whipped, but he says, and once I was stoned. Now, that's not talking about the kind of stoned that you get in California, all right, by legalized marijuana, all right? Not that kind of stoned. We're talking about at Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, the Bible says he was preaching and he healed an impotent man who had never walked. And the Bible says that the Jews got stirred up and they drug him outside the city and they begin to pick up rocks and they begin to pummel Paul's body. Can you imagine one man enduring all of these things in one lifetime? I can't even imagine that. We suffer so little and complain about it so much, you know. That not only did they stone him, we're not just talking about throwing some rocks. We're talking about, the Bible said, they stoned him until they were satisfied that they had killed him. They thought he was dead. And yet Paul just keeps on serving God, keeps on loving God after all that he went through. Why? Because it had the right spirit. You can't lick a man that has a right spirit. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Many times whenever I know somebody in our church is going through a battle, sometimes you don't know how to pray for people. I was telling the preacher, some of the friends that he knows at our church, wife has cancer, stage 4 liver cancer. And you know what I pray? Of course, I pray that God heals her. But you know how I pray for her and how I pray for her husband, how I pray for their daughters? Lord, don't let the devil get their spirit. Don't let the devil get their spirit. Because I've seen a lot of times where Christians, mama gets cancer, or a husband gets cancer. And then you know what happens to our spirit? God, why are you so unfair? Why me? Why now? And I pray, Lord, help them. Help them to keep a good spirit. Because God, if you can help them keep a good spirit, they can take it, they can handle it. Lord, just help them keep a right spirit. You know how you can tell when you got a healthy spirit? And I'm through. You can always tell you have a healthy spirit when you can still get excited about the things of God. It ought to excite you. Listen, you're in big time danger when you dread reading your Bible and you dread praying and you dread coming to church. If you get up on Sunday and say, oh, it's Sunday. Oh, Wednesday. Again, you, my friend, have an unhealthy spirit, and it's not going to take much to wound you. It's not going to take much. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Thanks for listening tonight. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe this message was for you. You said, Brother Randy, I just lately feel like I've been put through the ringer. And folks, if there's one thing I've noticed over the years is that trials and adversity and problems, they never seem to come one at a time, do they? They always come all at once. That's why we call them seasons. Trials always come in seasons. Maybe you say, Brother Randy, that maybe my spirit's just not been what it ought to be. I've got a wounded spirit, hurt spirit, pessimistic, critical, deflated. If you ask God to help you get that spirit back in place, I promise you, there's nothing that your spirit can't sustain if it's healthy. But if it's not, boy, you're just waiting. You're just existing until the next bad thing happens. The devil gets your spirit, he's got you. He's got you. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. Who'd say, Brother Randy, that message was for me. God spoke to my heart in that message. Brother Randy, please pray for me. Would you slip your hand right up and right back down? God bless you. Several hands this evening. In just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and I want to invite you just to take some time at this altar. Ask the Lord to help you. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Father, bless, I pray, the invitation. Thank you for these that have come. Lord, help us, Lord, to take these truths tonight and encourage our heart with them, strengthen our spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.